Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for March 12th, 2010.
The Science Update Podcast is produced by AAAS, advancing science, serving society.
One was reported to be 100 miles inland in an artichoke field. Another one was reported to be in a used car sales lot.
Somehow, algal genes had been transferred from the food material into the genome of the sea slug.
Dolphins are the only other species that we know of that carry multiple type genital papillomaviruses, and yet cancer has never been reported in these animals.
This week's podcast is all about marine life. We'll tell you about a microorganism that causes bizarre behavior in California sea lions, and how whales depend on the same family of organisms for their success. And we'll talk to a scientist who says we can learn a lot about human health from dolphins. First, though, Suzanne Bard reveals why some marine animals come in a very bright shade of green.
The saying, "you are what you eat," is especially applicable to sea slugs, which often take on the lively colors of the food they consume.
For example, those that eat orange sponges often are orange.
That's University of South Florida biochemist Skip Pierce, and he says one species takes it a bit further than that. Its diet consists of algae, which harvest energy from the sun through the process of photosynthesis.
Basically, turning light energy into sugars.
And that's where things start to get really interesting.
And what we discovered early on was that somehow algal genes had been transferred from the food material into the genome of the sea slug.
Basically, the klepto sea slug steals the algae's genes for photosynthesis. And once incorporated into the creature's body, the genes make chloroplasts. This turns the sea slug's green.
And at that point, the adult has enough chloroplast that it never needs to eat again. As long as you shine light on it, it will photosynthesize, make enough energy to not only sustain its life, but to reproduce.
Pierce says he and his team are trying to work out just how the sea slugs are able to incorporate functional genes from another species into their own bodies. That's an interesting question in itself, but he says answering it could potentially be useful in human medicine.
Genetic therapy, for example, is involved in the insertion of correct genes into humans to fix genetically based diseases. And that doesn't work very well yet, but these slugs have figured out how to do it. And so if we can figure out the mechanism underlying it in the slugs, it may be down the road useful for some sorts of medical applications.
Pierce adds that sea slugs are one of the few multicellular organisms known to have the ability to co-opt functional genes from other species for their own benefit.
Thanks, Suzanne. That is incredible. Our next story also involves algae. You usually see California sea lions basking in coastal areas, but in recent years, they've been reported in some pretty unexpected places.
They will be found walking along on a freeway. One was reported to be 100 miles inland in an artichoke field. Another one was reported to be in a used car sales lot.
That's National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration physiologist John Ramsdell. Studies of rodents in his lab have established that the weird behavior is probably the result of epilepsy, brought on by exposure to a chemical called domoic acid. It's formed by periodic algal blooms off the coast of California. He says domoic acid causes neurons in the brain to fire for an abnormally long period of time.
So instead of giving a spark of excitation, they give a spark that spreads like wildfire to cause seizures.
The seizures can result in epilepsy over time.
The sea lions seem to be atypically aggressive both to their other sea lions as well as to human encounters. And we see this in our rats as well. Very early on, before the disease even shows, the animals are what we'd call emotionally unglued. They just respond overly emotional to very minor interactions. Sometimes they will show a flight response, a bite, run away. Sometimes they'll just drop right into a seizure.
Ramsdell says the algal blooms that cause the domoic acid poisoning are produced by algae called diatoms.
And the blooms start with ocean upwellings. A nutrient that is important for the diatoms is silicate. Silicate is a component of their glass shell. And when the silicate becomes depleted, experimental studies will show that the diatoms make domoic acid.
Ramsdell and his team aren't entirely sure whether the periodic algal blooms that cause domoic acid poisoning are a fully natural phenomenon, or if they might be exacerbated by nutrient runoff from farming near the California coast. He does say that domoic acid poisoning can cause seizures in other animals and has probably caused epileptic symptoms in humans as well. Well, diatoms may be responsible for domoic acid poisoning, but they're not all bad. Justin Warner reports on the important relationship between whales and the tiny organisms.
It's well known that top predators depend on creatures at the bottom of the food chain, or more accurately, the food web. But a new study by researchers in Virginia and New Zealand puts this in high relief. George Mason University vertebrate paleontologist Mark Ewan and his colleagues analyzed 30 million years' worth of fossil records. They found that over all that time, the diversity of whale species has been closely tethered to the diversity of marine algae called diatoms. Ewan says this was true not just of filter-feeding whales, which subsist on tiny creatures like diatoms, but also of whales that eat larger prey.
The filter feeders were linked even stronger, but the toothed whales that eat individual prey items were also linked. So all the ways we could look at it, the diversity of whales was directly related to the diversity of diatoms over the last 30 million years or so.
They also checked to make sure they weren't just tracking ebbs and flows in the quality of the fossil record, and they found that the diversity of vertebrates in general wasn't related to their whale findings. That suggests that whales and diatoms really do have a long-standing interdependent relationship, and that relationship will probably continue in the future.
If diatom diversity were to go down due to, say, climate change or ecological concerns of any other sort, like pollution or anything like that, we would expect the number of whales to go down as well.
The findings show how an entire food web can be shaken up by its humblest members. It stands to reason that this might be true in other ecosystems as well.
Thanks, Justin. Next, Suzanne says new discoveries about dolphins could tell us something about how to better fight human diseases.
Women infected with multiple strains of human papillomavirus have a much greater chance of developing cervical cancer than women who don't have any type of HPV at all.
People who have 4 to 6 HPVs have 424 times the chance of developing cervical cancer compared to somebody who does not have HPV exposure.
But now, University of Florida researchers have discovered that dolphins also get multiple papillomaviruses. But marine mammal biologist Hendrik Nolan says that unlike humans, they've never been known to get cervical cancer.
Dolphins are the only other species that we know of that carry multiple type genital papillomaviruses, and yet cancer has never been reported in these animals.
Understanding why dolphins are spared from cervical cancer and humans are not could help lead to better treatments for the disease.
What is the synergy between the viruses? Why is it that if you have combinations of otherwise benign viruses, you suddenly do have this higher risk of cancer?
Nolan says in addition to finding multiple papillomaviruses in dolphins, his team also discovered many viruses that had never been described before in a marine mammal.
Thanks, Suzanne. Well, testing new drugs to fight Alzheimer's disease is difficult because most lab animals aren't prone to the disease. And in those that are, it develops very slowly. Scientists have found a way to induce Alzheimer's symptoms in sea squirts, small marine creatures that look like little tubes glued to rocks. Despite their appearance, sea squirts are humans' closest invertebrate relative, sharing 80% of our genetic material. So trying out new drugs in the marine organisms could lead to new treatments for humans.
Finally, researchers at the Marine Biological Laboratory in Woods Hole, Massachusetts, have found that the long-armed octopus has a unique survival skill. It impersonates flounders. The octopus flattens itself against the sea bottom and takes on the shape and coloration of a flounder to fool its predators.
Thanks, Suzanne. Well, that's all we have for you this week. Next week, we'll tell you what music and language have in common in the brain and how the density of alcohol outlets in neighborhoods is related to the rate of violent crime. But if you can't wait for next week's podcast, you can get your daily dose of science by listening to the Science Update Podcast Daily Edition every day, Monday through Friday. You can find it on our website, scienceupdate.com, or at iTunes. You can also check out Science Update's fan page on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. And remember, if you have a science question, give us a call at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT. If you use your question on the show, you'll win a Science Update mug. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.